Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Ethiopia-born, Swedish-raised chef Marcus Samuelsson became a household name here in the United States when in 2010 he won the second season of Bravo's Top Chef Masters. That came after cooking the first state dinner for President Obama the year before. Since, he has opened a haute cuisine restaurant in Harlem called Red Rooster, and now he's written a memoir, Yes, Chef, that delves into the art of his cuisine and the personal stories surrounding it. Marcus Samuelsson, such a pleasure to have you. Welcome to WNYC.
Hi, me. How are you?
Good. Thank you. Tell us the story behind the title of the book, Yes, Chef.
Well, Yes, Chef is sort of that's the communication code in the kitchen, right? It's We Chef or Yes, Chef. When I had the chance to cook the state dinner for President Obama, when all my cooks got the chance to meet the president, Michael, one of my chefs, when he shook hands with the president, he said, Yes, Chef. And it was such a funny moment because everybody started to laugh. And even the president was like, okay, what is this about?
So the fine cuisine kitchen is run as kind of a military boot camp.
Well, I mean, kitchen is it's a place where you have to be very focused, and it's a team-oriented, you're with a big crew, where it's supposed to be dangerous, but it's also a lot on the line, you know? The food has to be very precise. So when you speak there, you just have to be like, yes, chef, that's the only answer.
You received your culinary training all around the world, but how early on in your life did you know you wanted to be a chef?
Well, pretty early, you know, my grandmother Helga in Sweden, she was really a big inspiration for me in terms of home cooking. But then also, you know, I met my chefs throughout Switzerland and France that constantly opened the door for me and mentored me. So I got a taste for it at a really early age and haven't stopped cooking since.
You first gained recognition at a very young age, 24, as chef at Manhattan's Aqua Vie restaurant. Is it unusual in the culinary field to have that, you know, high a position, that much success that young?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm the youngest chef to ever get 3 stars in New York Times, and something that, I didn't even know that Ruth Reichel, the New York Times critics, was in the dining room, and it was completely game-changing for me. But, you know, I think the great thing with cooking is you can come to it at so many different points in your life. And for me, being a chef at an early age was great, but it was really my passion to food that makes me stay in it. You know, I'm constantly curious about food. There's always so much to learn. And, I'm both a chef, but I'm also a foodie.
Listeners, any quick questions for Marcus Samuelsson? Are you a Marcus Samuelsson fan already? Maybe a Red Rooster patron? Anybody with a question for him, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. His new book called Yes, Chef. And let's take a phone call right now. Tedla in Flushing, you're on WNYC. Hi, Tedla.
Yes, good morning. Yes, Chef, Mr. Marcus. I'm also originally from Ethiopia, and I would like to ask you a question which is not related to your profession. I see many adopted Ethiopian children in New York City area. Are you advocating for a proper adoption from your mother country, Ethiopia? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Is this an issue you're involved with? I have no idea.
Well, I mean, as an adopted child, I was very fortunate to get adopted to Sweden after me and my sister had tuberculosis. I've been extremely fortunate to have the chance to grow up with loving parents in Sweden. And, as I work and live in New York City, adopted kids and parents come up and talk to me about this all the time, and I think it's a blessing, you know, for me and my sister was a blessing to get adopted, and it was a blessing for my parents too, so it worked out.
You said you were adopted by a Swedish couple after your mother had tuberculosis. She died of TB.
She died at the age of 28, yes.
I'm so sorry. How much of the adoption process do you remember, and how disorienting was it to go from Ethiopia to Sweden?
Well, I was a child, so I don't remember anything of the specific adoption. I met my biological father when I was an adult, and we have a great relationship today. And I talk about it in Yes Chef a lot about, you know, how this feels like to meet your biological parents as an adult. And, you know, every year me and my wife, we go back to Ethiopia and have a great relationship with my sisters and brothers. And adoption could be complex. So is life. Life is full of complex, and that's what complexity issue, and that's what I talk about a lot in Yes Chef, that this is not just a story about cooking. You know, as the caller called in regarding adoption, people comes up to me and talk food. They talk about being Ethiopian, and people respond to me as a child, as an immigrant. There's so many layers that people want to talk to me about, and that was really what inspired me to write Yes Chef.
Big fan on line 3, Beverly in Harlem. You're on WNYC. Hi, Beverly.
Hi. Yes, I just wanted to say that I am an original Harlemite, and I remember the original Red Rooster, the very tiny one on 7th Avenue. So when I visited the new one, we had taken my niece here for graduation. It's a beautiful, beautiful environment. The new one is quite different from the old one. And I really don't know what to say, but it's just a gorgeous environment. And the service was very nice.
Beverly, what have you had there?
I met Mr. Samuelson as a matter of fact. He signed a book that we had purchased.
Nice.
My sister had a book that she had purchased, and he signed it for her at the table.
Beverly, recommend something on the menu to our other listeners, would you?
You're the food
critic now.
I think we had burgers. I remember, so I don't know about the cuisine.
Okay.
We had burgers and the French fries, and the desserts were very good. I remember the desserts were excellent.
Thank you very, very much for your call. What's the range on the menu? Chef.
Well, you know, the whole idea about opening Red Rooster in Harlem was really to get the Harlemite to have them feel ownership of the restaurant and have them there, and the New Yorkers and the visitors. So it really becomes this melange of diversity in the dining room, and people come up and experience Red Rooster and experience Harlem. You know, so you can sit and be part of Red Rooster and having a beer and cornbread, and you can go there for your steak dinner. You know, for me, it's really about aspirations, and I don't want to tell people sort of the glass ceiling of what they can or cannot afford. Mm-hmm. You can participate from a $17 meatballs, and you can have, something more expensive on the menu. But it's up to you. What's the occasion, and how are you eating?
Were there particular pressures that came to bear on you in this line of work because you were an immigrant, because you were a young black man in the world of fine cuisine?
I mean, we all have different stories on how we got there, and definitely being a young black kid coming up, being a black chef coming up was definitely something that, made me focus. I mean, I knew I had to be extremely sharp, and I know I wouldn't get as many chances, but it also made me stronger. You know, from an immigrant point of view, I think America is a very open country, and is very immigrant friendly, especially in New York, and it's something I'm extremely grateful to New York and this country.
You've been at it for, I guess, over 15 years now in New York. How diversified is the executive chef pool in these kitchens compared to when you started?
We have definitely a long way to go in terms of diversity in our cooking community, but we also come a long way. You know, I feel like in terms of, it's a lot of Latin in the field, which is great now. And that wasn't when I started. It's a big Asian population. There's definitely more black chefs as well. So we are on a journey within the in the trade, within the profession of being a chef, being more diverse. Customer base are much more diverse today. You know, when I started, it was basically the 55-year-old male that was a customer. Today, it's equally women to men, and it's much more diverse. So as this country is becoming more diverse, so is the profession of cooking. And, you know, so much about writing Yes Chef was to talking about the journey and looking at the role models that I looked at, like Patrick Clark and Leah Chase, and how I can inspire people to get into the field.
I gather that you had initially trained in Sweden and knew close to nothing about African cuisine. When did you become interested?
It was really in my 20s when I felt like, you know, I knew a lot about French food, even Japanese food and so on. And it didn't sit right with me when a student asked me, what about African cuisine? What about specifically Ethiopian cuisine? That I didn't know enough. And as a professional, I felt like as a professional chef with African descent, I felt that I owned to myself and to an audience that I should actually guide, know a little bit more. And being curious and want to know more, I went to Africa several times, and today I can actually call myself an African expert in terms of food.
I love Ethiopian food, by the way, the injera bread and the beans and the meats and veggies with the particular spices. And you can eat with your hands and nobody complains.
You know, it's one of those meals that you definitely will remember, from the injera bread is so specific, and to all the differences. But, you know, it has a lot to do with Ethiopia was not just colonized, and it was able to keep its food identity very, very strong. And we can learn a lot from Ethiopia in terms of eating with a spiritual compass and having the ritual, and how much cooking and eating is part of family rituals and tribal.
Last question, we'll give it to a listener from Brooklyn who posted on our website and asks, can Marcus talk about growing up as an immigrant to Sweden and on whether or not he was accepted by his peers and neighbors as a person of color in a very homogeneous country?
You know, I mean, growing up in Sweden, the best thing for me is we had each other, our family. My parents were white, my cousins were Korean, and my sister and I were black. But we had each other, and we got a lot of love from our parents and guidance. And there was obviously some stuff that happened when you're a kid that looks different. But I'm sure that would have happened to a kid with gears or a lot of freckles. You know, I don't think kids are racist. I do think that the kids are just sandbox stuff that happened.
And I want to jump in, and I'm sorry to cut you off on that of all things, but I want to make sure we get your events out on the air before we run out of time. One in Harlem today, Harlem Community Day at Marcus Garvey Park at the Richard Rogers Amphitheater, 3 to 7 p.m. And tomorrow I see you'll be at Barnes & Noble Union Square at 7 p.m. The book again is Yes, Chef, memoir by Chef Marcus Samuelson from Red Rooster in Harlem. It's been really fun to have you on the show. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.